Greetings, I'm Edward Juan Lynam, also known as Dr. JD, my music artist name, and welcome to my new video blog, How to Win a Murder Trial Against All Odds, Criminal Defense Trial Strategies and Techniques. If you haven't already, please check out the introductory episode to this video blog, where you'll have the opportunity to learn more about me and my background, as well as to learn what qualifies me to present to you this video blog. Now, this video blog isn't just for lawyers and law students. It's for everyone who wants the intellectual edification of knowing more about the law and their encounters with the law, better known as encounters with the police. In the first episode, episode 1, From the LSAT to the Bar Exam, Resist the Push to Lower the Bar, in that episode, I expressed my opposition to the push that many lawyers and law professors around the nation are making to make their states, especially this one here in Florida, a diploma privilege state, meaning that graduates of ABA accredited law schools within the state don't have to take that state's bar, meaning they graduate and they become licensed to practice law in the state. So check out that episode to really understand why I oppose diploma privilege, especially here in the state of Florida. Now, this episode 2, titled I'm Placing You Under Arrest, outlines why so many civil traffic stops conducted by the police often turn into criminal convictions for all the occupants in the car, even when the occupants of the car have hired an attorney to represent them in court. Now, if you go back to episode 1, you'll see where I share my disgust for lawyers who call themselves experienced and go as far as spending as much as $300 for an award or trophy that they hang up in their wall to say that they're one of the top 100 lawyers in their field of practice. And where many of these lawyers have never picked a jury, they've never filed a motion to dismiss, nor a motion to suppress. And if they did, then they're lucky to have ever prevailed on one. I mean, too often defense attorneys are representing clients, although the arresting officer has violated their client's rights, which many police officers do during civil traffic violations, is how they get to the arrest, because they totally take advantage of the fact that they're the ones with the badge and the gun and in charge of the situation. And if you don't like how they're conducting themselves during that civil traffic stop, then we already know. Oftentimes, they'll take it upon themselves to execute you right there on the spot. You see, I'm recording this video blog because on too many occasions, people like you go and hire a defense lawyer who doesn't have the experience. So the conviction sticks, meaning you walk away with a conviction, either misdemeanor, or you walk away as a convicted felon because your lawyer didn't file any type of motion that they should have known to file with respect to the facts in your case. Too often, all the criminal defense attorney knows to do is 100% of time negotiate a plea deal. And it's a sham. You see, the legal field of criminal defense is replete with lawyers who know absolutely nothing about police procedure. Yes, we may have to pass the class criminal law as well as criminal procedure in law school, but there's a big difference between law school, criminal law, and criminal defense, and the police procedure that police officers learn that they apply in the field during civil and criminal traffic stops and violations. You see, the criminal law as well as criminal procedure classes that are taught in law school are only designed to provide a foundation or framework of the legal theories and concepts of criminal law as well as criminal procedure for the student. These classes teach the students how criminal law and criminal procedure meet up with our United States Constitution as well as our state constitutions. For example, most people are familiar with the term Miranda rights or Miranda warnings. You know, like you have the right to remain silent. That comes from the U.S. Constitution and our Fifth Amendment right that protects us from self-incrimination. Or that you have the right to an attorney, or an attorney will be appointed to you if you cannot afford one. And the fact that that comes from the Sixth Amendment of the United States Constitution. Well, those classes in law school provide a good basis of connecting all of those things together for us. However, it is not applicable procedure that we need to learn after we graduate law school in order to be good practitioners that's able to apply what police are doing, especially when they're violating our rights, to transform that into a motion that argues why they violated your rights during a traffic stop and why the charges against you should be thrown out. You see, going back to the introductory episode to this video blog, it's because so many attorneys graduate law school and stop reading and stop studying when that's when the reading and the studying and the mastering of our craft begins. It's why so many criminal defense lawyers don't file these motions. They don't pick juries. And that's why so many black people end up with criminal convictions that they should never have. And it's why we have so many prosecutors, as well as judges, who go along with it because it's all part of the criminal justice complex in our state. A complex that is financed by violating your constitutional rights that often occurs during something as simple as a civil traffic violation that unlawfully turns into a criminal investigation and then your arrest on criminal charges that are usually unwarranted. Let me tell you an example on one of my cases out of Citrus County, Florida, where I represented a man who was accused and charged with murder. A detective found him in his home with a self-inflicted gunshot wound where he still had a bullet lodged in his head. He tried to commit suicide after killing his girlfriend. But instead of calling an ambulance to get my client the medical attention that he needed, since he was right there dying when the detective found him, the detective thought it would be best to interrogate him while he had a bullet lodged in his skull. So the detective interrogated him at his home while he found him without calling an ambulance, and then threw him in his patrol car where he continued to interrogate him as he was driving my client to the hospital with a bullet lodged in his skull. The detective continued to interrogate my client before and after his surgery. Even when after the surgery, my client was under heavy sedatives and drugs from just undergoing an operation all the way up in his skull. Now, despite my bringing in a renowned psychologist to suppress all of the statements that the detective said that my client made during all of the questioning, the corrupt judge still allowed all of the statements to come in. So that means the state attorney assigned to the case, knowing, for one, the detective didn't record any of the statements, making it all hearsay, and two, the fact that when the statements were purportedly made, my client had a bullet in his skull and he was dying, the prosecutor still went along with the procedure, saying that the hearsay statements by the detective should be part of evidence that a jury should hear. Folks, that's not how our United States Constitution works. That's not police procedure. That's not criminal procedure. However, this happens way too often in counties where you have a very weak criminal defense bar. And even in big counties where you have some good attorneys. The problem is most of them aren't good enough because they don't read, they don't master the facts, and they don't learn police procedure. You see, and that's why I'm recording this video, because criminal defense attorneys, especially the ones here in Florida, need to be held to a higher standard so that prosecutors, cops, deputies, and judges alike will stop this nonsense and stop allowing for deputies to violate the rights of the residents and citizens of the counties in which they reside. I mean, these deputies, prosecutors, and judges don't even live up to the standards that they swear an oath to uphold and protect. Now, those basic standards probably have a familiar fact pattern like this. You're pulled over at night with some friends in your car to learn that only your taillight was out. While the officer is talking to the driver, they're calling for a dog to come to your car and sniff around the car. And they do that without asking your consent to search the car for drugs. Many defense lawyers don't know that during a civil traffic stop, a police officer cannot hold you there longer than it takes for them to write you a ticket and send you along your way. Nonetheless, motions by too many defense attorneys are not filed in these instances. So the police officer or the deputy is now unlawfully detaining you so that a dog can come and sniff around your car where the dog probably barks at every car, no matter where there's drugs in it or not, which is going to give them this magical probable cause to suspect that there's drugs in your car. At which point, they ask you to step out the car, and then maybe they find little to nothing. They may find a few crumbs of marijuana. Then they charge all the occupants in the car with possession of marijuana. And too often, although every occupant of the car may have their own criminal defense attorney, many of them don't know how to allege constructive possession. And although each occupant of the car may have their own lawyer, too many defense lawyers don't even file motions to dismiss based upon the theory of what's called constructive possession. You see, I'm recording this video blog because too often criminal defense attorneys, because they do not know the law well enough, they end up becoming accomplices to violations of your constitutional rights, even after you hire them and pay them thousands of dollars to do nothing but plea you out, which may only take a couple of hours of their time. You see, even decent criminal defense lawyers know when they hear a fact pattern like this, that constitutional rights have been violated. However, they're too inept to know how to articulate the violation of those constitutional rights and reduce it to a motion to dismiss or a motion to suppress based upon violations of your constitutional rights during a civil traffic stop that unlawfully went from a civil traffic stop to an unlawful criminal investigation that led to unlawful criminal arrests and likely someone going to jail. You see, in cases like this, when you hire a defense lawyer, that defense lawyer is expected to conduct a thorough investigation. And that thorough investigation is supposed to validate what you say, as opposed to what the officer puts in their police report, and corroborate that with all the discovery that's provided by the state attorney's office. And that's why many attorneys do, in fact, conduct depositions. The problem is they don't know what to do after the depositions when they've caught the officers telling a lie about what they put into their report. You see, in my professional experiences, I've caught police and detectives in lies about 80% of the time. So literally, in about 80% of my cases, did I file some type of motion to dismiss, to reduce the charges, or to suppress? But I would say the problem with too many criminal defense lawyers isn't the fact that they just don't know police procedure and criminal procedure well enough to connect violations of your constitutional rights and reduce it to paper. The other part of the problem is that they're too egotistical to know that in almost all these cases, they should be hiring an experienced investigator, one who served as a police officer, so that when they read the police report, an experienced investigator who served as a cop is going to be able to read the police report, and all of the mistakes, everything that's missing or omitted from the police report is just going to jump off the page to that experienced investigator. And that lawyer is then going to learn little by little with each case and each case more and more about police procedure. So when they see police reports that have a lot of things omitted or things that are inconsistent, they are going to know just how to articulate the violations of your constitutional rights in a motion to dismiss or even to suppress. But it doesn't stop there. After learning how to write a motion to dismiss or a motion to suppress with the help of likely an investigator, so you can pick all the things apart that the cop or deputy did wrong during the traffic stop, then you have to file and set that motion for an evidentiary hearing. And that's supposed to be the defense attorney's opportunity to highlight that police officer or deputy and throw them right under the bus during that hearing in front of the prosecutor and the judge. And in my experience, if I'm dealing with a good, decent, honest prosecutor, they let me throw that deputy or that cop right under the bus in front of that judge. Because a prosecutor who allows me to do that is signaling to the judge that we don't want that in this jurisdiction. The prosecutor allowed me to throw a cop or a deputy under the bus with respect to all their violations of their own standard operating procedures that amount to violations of your constitutional rights, signals to the judge exactly what they need to do in that case. And 9 times out of 10, they do it if the prosecutor wants them to do it. But like I said, you too oftentimes have examples like I shared with my client who had the bullet lodged in his head, who was being questioned over and over again by the detective before getting him any medical treatment, you have prosecutors who advocate for violations of constitutional rights just to get a conviction. And that's why it is so important that the attorney not only knows the law, police procedure, they know how to write a motion, but that they also know how to put on an evidentiary hearing, and they aren't too scared to pick a jury if it comes to that point. So I'm recording this video to teach you that too oftentimes you have defense attorneys who take your money, read the facts of the case, and simply brush it off as something that the police are allowed to do. And the result is you becoming convicted on the charges as filed, or the best deal that your criminal defense attorney was able to work out for you. So it's important for law students, lawyers, and individuals who want to know their constitutional rights that it's a big deal when you have a civil confrontation with the law or police, and that civil confrontation dwarfs into a criminal investigation and then a criminal arrest, which oftentimes is a violation of your constitutional rights. So in closing, it's time that we stop hiring these lawyers who won't or don't file motions to dismiss or motions to suppress, or the ones who never picked a jury, but will gladly take thousands of your dollars to do just a few hours of work on your case, to in the end plea you out to some criminal charges that ultimately amounts to a deprivation of your constitutional rights. Stay tuned to episode 3 when I begin to discuss the criminal procedure that's supposed to occur after you're placed under arrest and taken to jail. So that means we're going to be talking about first appearances, as well as your right to have a bond set. This is Dr. JD with your video blog, How to Win a Murder Trial Against All Odds, Criminal Defense Trial Strategies and Techniques. Until next time, thank you for watching. Goodbye.